So good to see you guys, and there's so many more people out there that we see this week, and that is fantastic. Some folks we haven't seen in a while. So usually we kicked last week. Andrew re-kicked off our series on Luke, but we're going to do something a little bit different. So if you're a visitor here, this is really different. This is not what we're going to typically do. We don't do this every Sunday. Don might like it, but we're not going to be doing this every Sunday. But we're going to have a chance to honor one of our own. So if you're here and you're a visitor, God planned this for you to be here. And I think that you're going to get something out of this. I think you're going to be encouraged. And I think it's great to have you sort of at our family dinner table while you're here. Now, if you're a Grace Community member, I think you've seen this on Facebook and you just kind of see this coming. So I want to prepare you guys for what we're going to be doing. So I need you to do a couple things for me first. First of all, take three deep breaths. Don't hyperventilate. There we go. Good. Okay. Now, I want you to take your arms, stretch them out, just kind of shake them. I want you to get all loose. Good. There we go. Not too much. Okay. Now, great. Now, I want you to clap. That's a new experience for me up here. But I need you to be ready to clap because we're going to do a lot of clapping. We're going to do a lot of cheering. We're going to do all that kind of thing. Can we do a whoop whoop? Can you give me a whoop whoop? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you guys are loose. This is exactly where I want you to be, okay? Because we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of whoop-whoops and a lot of cheering and a lot of clapping and maybe some tears. But I will sit down in a few minutes. But I'm really excited for our chance to be able to honor Don on this because, you know, typically we start the year with sort of a standalone message, and it's a message about success, about setting your year up for success. It could be a prayer and Bible study and things like that. And we're going to be talking about success, but it's kind of a different kind of success. It's about talking about the key concept we're going to be talking about today is this morning, to start off with, is honor. Because, and the title of our message, if I could have that up, is Giving Honor Where Honor Is Due. You see, today is the last Sunday that Pastor Don will be an active pastor here at Grace Community Church. Yeah, there we go. Okay, you're loose. Good. Well, you know, it could have been a lot of applause and whoop whoop, but that's good. We didn't do that. Okay. Yeah, you guys are learning. It's excellent. But it is appropriate to clap that we're going to be honoring him. Thank you. Thank you. Good. Good. Okay. So normally what I'd like to do is to get Don and Margaret in a chair up here facing you guys and just for the entire time as we're talking about them, but I was voted down on that particular thing, so we're not going to, and they're pretty much as close as I want them right now. So I want to take just a moment to talk about honor because honestly, it's a very misunderstood concept. You see, for years in churches now, you know, you have this kind of false humility, I'll call it. You see, someone will come up and you'll say something like, boy, you're so dedicated at Grace Kids, and I just love you to watch, you know, watch you teaching my kids, or I love your voice and how you sing up there, which, you know, or something like you preached a great sermon. And then you're kind of like, well, what's that reply? Well, you know, it was all God, or that's not me, that's God. And you just kind of hear that, and you go, yeah, it's kind of funny, it looked just like you when you were up there. So I want to make things really perfectly clear, okay? I want to make things extremely clear. God is the reason for this church. He's the builder, he's the owner, and he's the sustainer by his grace of this church. And his gospel, that work of God's grace, is the foundation. It's the center beam of the mission of this church. And that has to remain clear. But God has called people to do the work of the ministry, and some of those people have done that job exceedingly well. And some people have equipped us to do the work of the ministry year after year after year, and Don is one of those people. If I could have that slide on 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching." Now, that passage doesn't say, God doesn't say, pastor or fellow church worker who do well, ignore them because it's all about me. It doesn't say that. It says to honor them. It says to acknowledge them. It says to thank them because it's good for us, it's good for them, and because it pleases God. And so that's what we're going to do today. If I could have that verse on Romans 12:10. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdoing one another in showing honor. So look at Romans, it says, look at how it links love and affection with honor. So that's what we're going to do, is honor. How we're going to do it is we're going to outdo each other by showing honor. Can I get a whoop about that? There we go. Now, there is that first part of that passage, love one another with brotherly affection. Now, let's talk about Don and affection. Don loves affection from a distance. So when we show Don affection, we show Don affection the way God would want it. We would want to lavish affection on Don today, okay? So I want to kick this off, and I was going to hand the mic off to Will Carlton, but apparently there's a bug going through the Carlton house, so Will has volunteered to do a video message, a video testimony regarding Don.
Hey guys, Will Carlton here. Kids have been sick, throwing up a little bit, so you're welcome. If you guys start throwing up, it's not my fault. But I still wanted to give my thanks to Don, share a little bit, maybe reading, because I don't have that great of a memory. So I've had the opportunity to be counseled, taught, and sit under Don's preaching for about 8 years. And two things have stuck out to me about Don more than anything. First, his clarity of thought, his insightfulness, his wisdom. God's given Don an unusual ability to see things clearly and to think about things clearly. So a while back, Don taught a preaching class that I had the opportunity to be a part of. And I fancied myself as having a teaching gift. So I was going in pretty confident. I thought I was going to be, you know, the star pupil, that I was going to get to show off a little bit. But it didn't take long before the opening illustration I used didn't land, and I had a kind of fundamental misunderstanding of the passage that I was assigned, that I realized that I had a lot to learn. And Don was a great teacher. After that class, he gave me more opportunities, gave great feedback. He's one of the key people who shaped how I think about preaching and teaching the Word of God. And so thanks to Don, the illustrations will work, the passages will be understood, and if at any point during the prep process they're not, I'll keep working until they are. So thank you, Don. In counseling sessions I've had with Don, he's helped me see things in my heart and thinking that I couldn't see. And he's given me paths forward that were clear and helpful. So I'm a better person, and I have a better marriage because of Don. So thank you, Don. In sitting under Don's preaching, I've been impressed so multiple times how he's handled difficult topics with absolute clarity and grace. So the ones that stick out to me, the one that sticks out to me is the one on called Gender Identity, the beginning of the Genesis series. If you haven't heard that one, give it a listen. It's an incredibly difficult topic, as you could probably imagine, with a lot of noise around it, a lot of preconceived notions. But Don was able to cut right through and provide absolute clarity and a message that would be helpful to anyone. So that clarity and wisdom has been a gift to this church, and it's been a gift to me. So thank you, Don. The second thing that's stuck out to me about Don is his love for Jesus. So this comes out in his counseling, his teaching, his preaching. Don's heart is for people to know Jesus, to see his glory, the freedom in his God, in the gospel. So Don's a pretty stoic guy. He's pretty matter of fact. He's a little intimidating, not to me, just other people. I've heard other people have been intimidated by Don at times. Definitely not. I know a guy. But man, Don loves Jesus. And for Grace to be around for as long as it has, with the amount of transitions we've had, people coming and people going, and the world raging around us, and to still be locked in on Jesus and the gospel. Thank you, Don. You've been a gift to this church. So I'm thankful for your service, as I know we all are, and excited for you to enjoy a well-earned retirement. So thanks.
Well, thank you, Will. I think we can all, or many of us can echo those sentiments that expressed by Will. Just a few months ago, we had the chance to appoint a new pastor here at Grace when Chuck Ament, and we spoke pretty liberally from Titus 1 and the qualifications of the elder, which states this. Titus 1, verse 5 to 9 says, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it." Now, Paul left Titus in Crete to appoint elders to oversee the church, men who would faithfully discharge the office in accordance with the scriptures. It's not hard to look at the world around us and see many pastors, many leaders who have failed that call over time. Faithfulness in living out these characteristics is not easy, but by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, it is possible. Now, a few months ago, we looked at this passage to kind of look over and kind of appoint a new elder. And now we get to look back at this passage again a few months later in retrospect, in reflection, in looking back at how Don lived out these characteristics. And we look at this passage, we see how Don has faithfully lived out this call over many years. He lives this out in a way that is a challenge and encouragement to us as a team, to us as a church. As well, I think of 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul says to Timothy, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And in my 6 years working with Don, I've found that to be true of him and his ministry. In no way would Don say he's perfect, but he strives to make much of Jesus in his own life and make much of Jesus, encouraging others to do the same around him. He's quick to deflect attention off himself and back to God. One of the things we talk about often on our team as we think about preaching is our goal being to leave the church, leave folks with a bigger view of God and a bigger view of Christ, a bigger view of God's mercy and grace found in the gospel. This goal to bring people to the feet of Jesus is really just emanates from all of what he does in ministry. This goal to bring people to the feet of Jesus has brought to preaching and he's brought to ministry, has left a lasting impact on so many. And so with that in mind, I want to bring up Tracy Chang to join me on stage as she shares another testimony.
Good morning. My name is Tracy Chang, and I'm humbled and honored to share how God has allowed Pastor Don to walk me through one of the most difficult times in my life. He did the most important thing a pastor could do. He gave me Jesus. In the end, this is really a story about God and his glory. I know Pastor Don wouldn't want it any other way. When I first started attending Grace in 2011, I had just left another church. It was nearing the end of a three-year relationship. The relationship was manipulative and controlling. I was left confused, broken, ashamed, and angry. God delivered me from that relationship, but the resulting pain was so great I had to be hospitalized for a week. I needed to heal from shame and unforgiveness. Thankfully, God placed me in a church that emphasized the gospel of first importance. Let's take a little detour right now because I see Pastor Steve is here. I mean, this all points to God, but I just wanted to thank you, Pastor Steve. I remember you told me that. I remember I had said to you, after this is over, I feel like God is refining me and I shall be tested and be as gold, just like Job said. And you told me you are gold. And he also told me if I were to write a book on my experiences, I would just see God's grace all over it. So I think God has answered your prayer, Pastor Steve. But back to my testimony, my original testimony. My journey in overcoming shame and unforgiveness would continue for the next 10 plus years. I felt God was disappointed with me whenever I failed to follow his ways. However, Pastor Don reasoned with me using gospel truths. There's no condemnation, disappointment, or surprise at my distorted thoughts. As I spent more time with Pastor Don, I realized the kindness in Pastor Don was God's. I felt a glimmer of hope. Then I forgot about it. This continued for years. However, God never stopped pursuing me. At the height of COVID, when services went online, it was a depressed introvert's dream come true. I could hide my shameful self from the world, but God would have none of that. Every Saturday, Pastor Don reached out to see how I was doing. He always made himself available to help and answer questions. Through our many conversations, Pastor Don would use the God circle, me circle analogy. When the God circle is big, the me circle becomes small, and vice versa. It took years for me to begin grasping its significance. As I continued wrestling with shame, anger, and unforgiveness, God revealed that my approach was not the way to go. I would read scripture, get counsel, listen to sermons, pray, etc. I seemed to be pursuing biblical wisdom and doing all the right things, but this crushed me. Thankfully, God had a better way. He gave me a craving for himself. I no longer wanted to simply conquer sin. I just wanted God. He showed me the key to overcoming sin is what Thomas Chalmers called the expulsive power of a new affection. In order to rid myself of idols, I had to love something more. To use Pastor Don's analogy, the God circle had to be big. This truth transformed my mindset. Reading the Bible is no longer a way to know God's commands in order to love him. It became a way for me to know God. It's not about me. As God became bigger, I began to see things differently. I see his kindness leads to repentance. I should see Jesus, not repentance itself. Since we become what we behold, when I worship Christ, I become more like him. This is what changes me. Regarding shame, I see Jesus crucified outside the city gates, an outcast, condemned, disfigured so I would be perfect, acceptable, beautiful, and pleasing to God. Regarding unforgiveness, I see Jesus paid the price so I would be forgiven. He took on the fullness of God's wrath so I would not remain in sinful anger or suffer the consequences I justly deserve. Regarding failures, I see Jesus is abandoned at the cross so God would not abandon me even when I fail. He chose to stay for me. Regarding suffering, I see Jesus became the man of sorrows, the suffering servant, so all my sorrows would be swallowed up and every tear wiped away. The list goes on. I think you pastored on. I don't know where you are. I don't see where you are. Oh, there you are. Thank you for giving me Jesus through your life and doctrine. When God is big, his grace is scandalous, but marvelous. His glory means my good. I simply look at Jesus' life, death, and resurrection to know this is true. When he is glorified, I find freedom, rest, and joy because that's what I was created for. Isn't he wonderful?
I get to talk about Don and from 1 Peter chapter 5. It says this. It says, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have it, would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." So before we get our slide here, next slide, I just want to thank Margaret also, because Margaret. Now, this isn't Margaret. That's what I said before the slide. But this slide will talk about the topic that I want. But I just wanted to thank you, Margaret, as well, because I know that Don and Margaret work as an amazing team together. They really do. And when I think about caring for others, I think of Margaret as well, because Margaret is behind the scenes, or on the phone, I guess, nurturing, caring for, learning about, organizing, and letting Don know about a lot about the flock. And a lot of times they'll come to Margaret, but Don's the one who ends up kind of teaching or counseling in those many of those situations. And so Don will say or tell you, or you'll have this impression of Don, that he's not that much of a people person, or he's not a lover of people, or he doesn't care. And even if he tells you that, just laugh. Because as you heard in this testimony, that's just not true. It's just not true. If you get into Don's sphere and you have the opportunity to really be served by him, you feel loved, and you know that he will care for you well, and you know that he will pay attention to things in your life, and he will ask you about those things. It might be during a meeting that you have with each other, but he's going to really seek to see that your life and your soul is served well by Jesus Christ and his word, and especially the gospel. I love this picture. I don't have a whole lot of old pictures. No, don't go there yet. Not yet. You're going ahead of me. So this picture was Ed Sasaki has been a part of this church for many, 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 many years. He's gone to be with the Lord. But at the end of many decades and decades of serving us, you know, Don was very much in favor of us honoring and blessing Ed Sasaki. And I don't know if you can see, like, this is the face of Don loving. This is a loving face of Don. I mean, he's proud. He's proud of Ed. He's so grateful for Ed. And I do think, you know, Don, that you have shown in many, many ways of thinking of people who we wouldn't even readily think about. And people don't know how you care or where you care, because you do so much of that behind the scenes. And so I want to thank you for the way you carry this church on your heart, and you really have loved us well, and you have cared for us well. But going back to our text, oh, wait, we have one more picture there. So this has nothing to do with shepherding, but this shows how far Don's willing to go to humiliate himself. Don's the guy with the bandana, I think, on the head. I was in the top row there, you know. It doesn't look anything like Don today. I think he thought it looked like him in the 60s or 70s or something like that. This was a special little honoring we did for pastors who are not paid, you know, and so we wanted to really thank them, so we put together a little program that day, and this was part of our time together. So that's a humiliating shot. It was a fun shot. It was a great time that we had together. Anyway, that picture had to make it in some way, but it doesn't fit my text. But it's a good picture anyway. So it says that we're to shepherd the flock. It says, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Exercising oversight, not under compulsion. The time came that I had been serving in a primary lead role with the church, and it was time for a transition, because I think that it didn't really match my gifts or my strengths at that time. We looked around the room. There were about nine of us in the room of the pastoral team and some of the guys we were working with, and we said, if it's not Greg, who it is? And I said, I think it's Don. I remember that meeting very vividly because Don was shocked because we had never really talked about that before. He wasn't even full-time yet on the team. And we went around the room, and everyone either said, yeah, I see that, or they said, like, wow, I haven't thought about that, but I'm really open to that. So we went around the whole room, and there was either yes or I can see that possibility, so we should pursue that. And we got to Don, and they said, what do you think, Don? And he started weeping, and he had his head down. He said, I could give you 100 reasons why I shouldn't be doing this. And then we spent the next 2 months him seeking God to see, God, is this what you want me to do? Because like I said, he wasn't even full-time at that point. And then he went to see a leader who was working with our church, a very mature man who was involved in appointing pastors and seeing church plants and so forth. And I was told by that guy, his name is Dave Harvey, that Don and Margaret, I think Margaret, were you there at that time? Don and Margaret spent 2 hours telling Dave Harvey why he should not be he should not be the lead pastor on this team. And finally, after Dave listening to all that, he said, well, if all the guys are kind of unanimous that you should do that, I think you should at least try that. So he was not seeking honor. He was open and willing to do whatever he could do. Now, most of you know that Don is a really, 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 really smart guy. And so if you have a disagree with him, you probably have two strikes against you already. Don went to, you got your master's degree, is that right, from Johns Hopkins? Undergrad? From Loyola. But you went to Hopkins. Undergraduate. So he's a smart guy. So he had no money, like when he was going back this one time, and they gave him a full ride. And so when we sent him to the pastor's college, you know, Don was number one in Greek, I think, in the Greek thing. So, but Don doesn't show off those kinds of things. When we asked Don to go to our team, he took a huge, huge pay cut from his job in the city. And he had been over, I think, 130-some people he had responsibilities over there. So he had lots and lots of opportunities, lots and lots of future there. But for your sake and mine, he left that. He was not seeking money. He was not seeking prestige. He was seeking to obey God and to serve you and serve me and my family all these years. Yeah, we can get a woo-woo for that. It says, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in his charge. You know, Don is probably the fastest, the quickest, one of the quickest ones, if not the quickest, to humble himself when we as pastors are working through issues. You know, and if he in any way senses that he may have offended somebody or sinned against someone, he will be one of the very first to search his heart and to see, you know, if that's him. And he will ask for forgiveness for that very quickly. When we are seeking God to make decisions, he will always want to know, you know, has anyone sensed that God's been speaking to them about these things? So he was not pushing an agenda. He was not trying to maintain something just because it had been maintained for years. His heart was really to discern, is this what God wants us to do? Is this what God wants us to do? And if we're going to take a big step of faith, like, let's not take that unless we feel like God wants us to do it. And let's let God give us the time to hear all that we need to hear in order to make that decision. So he was not domineering. He was not lording it over us. He was an example to us in his walk, in his integrity, in his raising and leading his family. I think he always sought to really to be a blessing, you know, to those. Again, I talked about how smart Don is. He's really smart. So we would call him the Solomon of the team because he was just very wise. I was thinking back at this, in the 1970s, there was a broker commercial, and they would say, well, my broker says this, and they says, well, my broker is E.F. Hutton, and when E.F. Hutton speaks, he said, like, the whole room would listen, and they say, people listen. And that's what it's like, Don, for us to be with you. We always wanted to know what Don thinks. Don, many times, especially this last several months of the year, he says, well, you guys are taking the church forward, so I'm really just going to sit back. But I was like, hey, you're in the room, and I want to know what you think. You know, I want to know what you think. And we're going to, if we can still find you, we're going to ask you questions still. So, in all that, I'm sure I have more things to say, but I'm not going to do it now. But it says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You have served me well, my friend. I thank you for how you cared for me and my wife through those last several months. I'm so grateful that you did my wife's funeral. You just blessed me. I've listened to that funeral 6 times at least. And I really, really, really appreciate how you have cared for my family and the investment that you made in my family all these years. I'm just thankful to God for you. And I know that one day you're going to hear your well done from our chief shepherd. So I'm going to bring George up now.
Well, we have had a chance to hear a lot of really special and wonderful things about Don. Don always wanted us to hear opposing views. Thus, no, I don't have an opposing view, I really don't. But I wanted to share a testimony of my own with regards to Don, actually Don and Margaret. And it really, I want to tell you about a love story that goes back almost 50 years. Like any relationship, it had its challenges. And as I look back on my marriage through the imperfect glass of time, I felt like it was smooth sailing. It wasn't perfect, but it was pretty close. However, my wife and I were very different people. Let me restate that. My wife and I were really, really different people. Under the surface of apparent happiness, we had a lot of unresolved conflict. My personality, my ego were taking a toll on her personal insecurities, and we began to accumulate wounds and unresolved conflicts. But she was not the only one that was impacted. Before he had graduated from high school, I had all but destroyed the relationship with one of my sons. Somewhere in the process, we reached out for help, and we had numerous people who met with us, Steve and Amy Bickle, who are here, Greg and Wendy Gill, Matt and Stephanie Weigel. All of them were very, very helpful. But as time went on, we seemed to migrate to an older couple, a much older couple, Don and Margaret Sharp. They would listen attentively. I can't completely leave it alone. They would listen attentively and with each and ask questions and deep, penetrating, uncomfortable questions. And with each question, the ugliness of our sin would become self-evident. And the Spirit was free to convict and instruct and painfully uncover our true motives. The Holy Spirit, through the Sharps, revealed my voracious, unquenchable pride and Martha's self-image that was not built on God's unconditional love for her. And there was no wave of the wand moment. There was no turn of the screw when we were fixed. It took years. Slowly, often very slowly, God used the Sharps to refine us. During this process, I had a life-altering Damascus Road event regarding my pride and my lack of humility, which changed my views about just about everything. During this time, my relationship with my son was restored thanks to God's kindness and my son's forgiveness. Typically, our conflicts now would end with Martha saying something like, well, do you want me to call Margaret or are you going to call Don? As a quick aside, feeling the Sharps' judgment was just never part of one of our meetings. And during this time, as a matter of fact, Martha and Margaret developed a very close, very personal relationship, unlike mine and Don's. So I've run out of time, but I hope you walk away with 3 things. Number 1, every relationship has its challenges and needs help, help often from the outside. Number two, wounds and conflict accumulate unless actively addressed. And finally, Don and Margaret are not magicians. What is special about them, and what I want to honor and I want to emulate about them, is that they've studied the gospel and they've worked hard to understand how to apply it to their lives and to the lives of the people that they've touched. And it is for that, and their generous availability, that I will always be grateful. Thank you, Don and Margaret.
Wow, this is kind of surreal for me. It's harder than watching Cal Ripken's game streak come to an end. And Don, I feel like you should do a victory lap around here or something. Because what a tremendous, I hope these stories are encouraging of what a tremendous impact your ministry has had. And I hope you're seeing the reason for Don's effectiveness is because this man treasures Jesus and he has submitted his life to Jesus and the gospel. Don lives with the gospel at his core, using the power for his gospel ministry of the Spirit. You know, because Don has charm, he has charisma, he has bling. Look at these pictures there. But man, this man does not rely on his own strength, but the power of Christ working through him. He believes that the gospel is of first importance. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-3. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. Now, some of you observant types will notice that we have this verse painted out on our wall in the colonnade because we here at Grace believe the gospel is of first importance. It's important to remember that Paul is writing to a church in Corinth with all kinds of issues, all kinds of problems, but here Paul is at the beginning of chapter 15 reminding them to stand firm on the gospel. The foundation of the gospel. With all the issues going on, Paul is saying, let's keep first things first. Remember the gospel and let your actions flow from there. That sounds a lot like Don Sharp, like advice that he would give. Always look at the cross before you look at your circumstances. Be motivated by God's love, which we see in the gospel. The good news is that Jesus Christ has died for our sins, and not only that, he has given us his righteousness. What an exchange. So that we can be a child of God and live in a right relationship with him. For that is the foundation on which we stand, on which Don Sharp stands. And it's the message by which we are being saved, being renewed day by day into the image of Christ. Always must stay first importance. Why is the gospel so important? Number one, it brings salvation, first and foremost. Jesus Christ died for our sins, and we are gifted Christ's righteousness. We can be restored and be back in a right relationship with God. Through the gospel, we experience God's grace and mercy, which leads to salvation. Without it, we are lost. The gospel brings hope. The resurrection of Jesus demonstrates God's victory over sin and death, and it assures us of a life beyond this one, beyond this earthly life we're experiencing. The gospel proclaims that death is conquered and eternal life awaits for all who believe in Jesus Christ. Gives us hope of a future place where all things are made new and all things are made right. The gospel brings salvation, hope. The gospel brings transformation. When we allow the gospel to penetrate our hearts, it changes us from the inside out. I learned that from Don, to learn a new way of viewing the world with the mind of Christ. It brings healing. in our life. All those broken things, the restoration, the renewal that our life needs, transforming our minds, our attitudes, the way we interact with one another. The gospel brings salvation, it brings hope, it brings transformation, and the gospel brings unity. Because look around, we are not like one another. The gospel transcends all barriers of cultures, circumstances, backgrounds. It brings us together in one body, united in faith, hope, and mission. This message of the gospel has practical implications for our lives. It's the truth that sets us free, gives us hope, transforms our lives, unites us with one another. Here at Grace, we have always strived to keep the gospel in everything we do, especially under the leadership of Pastor Don Sharp. Don is a man who has stood on the foundation of the gospel and praised the Lord that he was given such a beautiful, godly wife in Margaret to stand with him, who has chosen to do the same. They are quite the team. They balance each other so well, standing on the truth of the gospel, and especially in the life of ministry. In case you didn't know, ministry life can be hard at times, right? Praise the Lord that he gives us godly examples to follow, that I can imitate Don. I can look to his life. Just as Timothy had Paul, I feel like I had Don. Don's life and his ministry has impacted me. The pastoral team has been impacted by your leadership. The Lord has used Don to build a ministry built on the foundation of the gospel, Christ Jesus being the cornerstone. We love you for that, my friend. Thank you. This is the gospel-centered approach that we promise that this current pastoral team will continue to build on. Now, to further this point of protecting the gospel, I'd like to bring up Becky Fox, who is very excited to share with you all. Becky?
Well, it's been my privilege to be a part of Grace Community for more than 30 years now. Throughout those years, I've been the grateful recipient of Don's wise counsel, and my faith and walk have been encouraged and strengthened by his careful and diligent teachings of God's Word. Don, your teachings on fighting spiritual drift and on the grace of the gospel have been especially helpful. And even as Will Carlton was speaking, there was also an incredible sermon you did on the Trinity that was just great. And again, thank you. So Rick just shared with you the section of scripture from 1 Corinthians 15. And a few months ago, on a Sunday that Don was teaching, I was sitting in my seat over there and contemplating just what I would want to share with you during this time of honoring Don. And there are countless ways that Don has loved and served all of us. You've heard a few of those. And there's a whole lot of ways that are unseen that I could share just in the background. It's one of the privileges of working in the church office. I get to see the background things. But of all the ways that Don has served this church body, what is the work that has been most significant? And the thing that stood out to me the most that day were these verses in 1 Corinthians. Don has stood firm in and passed on to us that the gospel is of first importance. And so as I sat there in my seat, I asked God, how can I help everyone else to understand just how significantly God has served us in this? And God answered me. And when he did, I just wanted to laugh out loud because it showed me that God really does know his people here at Grace Community. He said to me, use football. I also laughed because I'm like, God, you want me to speak using football. So let me share with you the picture God put in my mind. In a football game, everything centers around the football. Where is it? Who has it? How are we going to get it down to the end zone? How are we going to stop it from getting into the end zone? The only thing anyone cares about is that football. The gospel is our football. The opposing team is the enemy. He wants to stop the gospel from going forward. In fact, he will do anything in his power to move that ball backwards if he can. And then we, you, me, everyone who's a Christian in this room, are the quarterback, the running backs, and the receivers. It is our job to advance the ball down the field. God has put the gospel into our hands. We are to take it and run with it into our neighborhoods, in our state, and all the way to the ends of the earth, to that end zone. The pastors, they are our offensive line. It is their job to protect the quarterback and to create running lanes for the running backs. According to my friend Google, offensive linemen are often known for being selfless and content to battle in the trenches without the spotlight. That sure sounds like our pastors. When a quarterback goes to throw the football down the field, they turn their backs to one side of the field, you know, like this. Thanks to a well-known movie, a lot of us know, that is referred to as the quarterback's blind side. Since most quarterbacks are right-handed, the left side of the field is their blind side. Because of this, one of the most important positions in the offensive line is the left tackle. The job of the left tackle is to protect the quarterback from the enemy he can't see coming. Don has been this church's left tackle. Our enemy has tried in many ways to blind us to the truth and importance of the gospel. To name a few, he's given us endless avenues of entertainment to distract us. He's tried to exchange the freedom and grace of the gospel to something we work for and earn. He's tried to get us to add our works to the completed work that Jesus accomplished in his life, death, and resurrection. He's thrown social and political issues at us to divide us. And he's confused and isolated us with a worldwide pandemic. Through it all, God has used Don to remind us that it is the gospel that is of first importance. Now, you may not know it. Now you know. But one of the best left tackles to ever play the game was a Baltimore Raven, a guy by the name of Jonathan Ogden. And so look at some of those pre-draft measurements, if you can see them. Yeah, there. Jonathan Ogden was 6'8" tall, 318 pounds, had a hand span of more than 10 and a half inches. I know what you're thinking. Uncanny how much Don Sharp resembles that. I mean, they're practically twins. All kidding aside, God says in 1 Samuel 16:7, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, but the Lord looks at the heart." I believe when God looked at Don, he saw exactly what Grace Community needed. A man with a heart big enough to love and serve his church by keeping the importance of the gospel ever before her. By helping her to see the grace of this glorious gospel and to live in the good of it. God saw a big left tackle who could protect our blind side by showing us what it means to stand firm in the gospel. So Don, I have a little gift for you today. This is a card commemorating when Jonathan Ogden was accepted into the Football Hall of Fame as part of the class of 2013. And Don, when you look at this card, I want you to remember that you are our Hall of Famer. We love you and are so, so grateful for the good works God did in you and through you as our pastor and shepherd. So thank you.
Wow, I got goosebumps while I listened to that. That was pretty great. Thank you for that. You, sir, have pastored us well. Thank you. I'm grateful, personally grateful. Grateful for the hospitality you've shown to Katie and me. Grateful for the long talks about God's sovereignty. Grateful for all the times you let me beat you on the pickleball court. Thank you. Thank you. I needed that. Thank you for your patience as well as you've explained and re-explained the grace and mercy of God. Now, I'm not sure if the pastor's heart ever lifts and leaves completely, though roles change and formalities, you know. But we kind of experience this in different ways in our life, you know. You are mom and dad, and then because of God's blessing, you became grandma and grandpa. And so today, I'm going to confer on you an honorary title rather than Pastor Don and the ending of it. We're just going to call you Grand Pastor Don. Does that sound okay? You like that, right? Now, here's the benefit of it is that the way grand pastoring works is that you get to come to church and enjoy it and laugh and have a good time and learn. And then when things start to get real hairy and real messy, you just get to roll out and go home. And so congratulations to that. I'm happy to declare that. So at this time, we're going to invite Pastor Don and Margaret to come up. We're going to give them a gift, and we're going to pray over them and release them. So if you two would both just come up and join us on the stage. Thank you. You want to come up here? This awkward. Did you not expect to be on the stage at all? Oh, so sorry. Right over there would be a good place for you. So, of course, no gift would suffice, but we would have to give you at least an attempt of a gift to say thank you. If you want to stand over there beside him. Pastors, if you want to come up as well. Of course, the flowers. Thank you for the inner beauty that you've reflected to so many in the congregation. Thank you for giving your life. Well done. Thank you for serving us, for teaching us, for taking care of us. So we have a gift card in there that you can use whenever you find the time and a location so that you could travel and enjoy some rest, okay? All right. So if you would just bow your heads with me as we thank God for them and release them. So, Father, we are so grateful for the love that you have shown us through them. Thank you for the heart of Christ reflected in their service to this church. Lord, we thank you for your love reflected in Margaret's life and all of the phone calls and all of the counsel and sharing her heart with people, Lord. We thank you for her and we thank you for what you've done in her life. Lord, we thank you for giving us a teacher in Dawn, one who would equip us, who would build us up in the grace of God. Lord, we thank you for loving us so well through them. We thank you for your faithfulness and for theirs to us, Lord God. And we pray over them, only you know what their next season will look like. But we know that you will walk with them into that next season, Lord God, as they press on toward the upward call in Christ Jesus. And so we are so grateful, Father, to have been a part of this, to have received your love through them. And we release them to you, Father God, for your will to be done in their lives, for your glory and their good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, would you like to share something?
Yeah, I was going to say, you might, you know, when you give a pastor a microphone, you probably want to take a seat. You can go ahead. You can go ahead, yeah. Well, wow. Well, first of all, I mean, I just want to thank the pastors and the staff for organizing and putting this together, and all those who shared such kind words about me today. It's just deeply humbled and honored by all that's happened. And I also want to take a moment just to thank my family, because even though others have mentioned them, I would not be standing here today if it were not for the support of my family through these years. My wife, Margaret, my daughters, Deborah and Lisa, I mean, they have been my greatest encouragers and supporters through all these years that I've been involved in ministry. They could not have been more supportive of me in serving as a pastor here at Grace. And their contributions to this church, while often not as public, have been extremely important in my life and really in the life of this church in ways many people would really not even know. So I'm very grateful to them. It was almost exactly 31 years ago in January of 1994 that I was ordained as a pastor here at Grace. And I'm not one that thinks a lot about the past or dwells on the past, but as you come to a moment like this, you're going through all the stuff of the last 31 years as you prepare to kind of transition things over to other people, you can't help but reflect a bit on the journey of those 31 years. And if you had met me about 40 years ago and said to me at that time that within a year I would become a Christian, I would have laughed in your face. If you had told me at that time that I would be a pastor one day, I would have thought you had truly lost your mind. I mean, those two things could not have been more distant from my picture of what my future would look like in that season of life. I mean, I would have been the least likely person that you would ever think would ever be involved in being a pastor. But God had other plans, and so here I am today. And as I've looked back and reflected over those 30 years, you don't really notice it in the day-to-day realities of living out life and carrying out your responsibilities. But as I've had a chance to reflect back over those years, it has become just so evident to me that anything that I was able to contribute or offer that was helpful to this church was truly the grace of God at work in and through my life. It was not about anything that I brought to the table as a person. And I could not be more grateful for that grace of God that has carried me through these 31 years of serving here at Grace. It has truly been an amazing experience of His grace. But as I look to the future, it is that same grace that gives me great confidence for this church as it moves into the years in its future. It's that same grace that gives me confidence that God has brought together a team of men to lead this church that will lead it well into those future years. And I'm grateful for that. And it is that same grace that has brought all of you together as a church body that I have confidence that God will fulfill His plans, His purposes for this church, both here in this area and in all the places in the world that He might call us to be involved with. It's that grace that gives me confidence that God will be faithful to do that. Because I know that He loves this church far more than I ever could. And He loves each and every one of you far more than you would ever know. And so as I prepare to depart from my role on this pastoral team, There's one more group of people that I just want to thank, and that's you as a church, because you have been incredibly supportive and encouraging to me over these 31 years. I hear a lot of stories about pastors who are miserable in their roles, who have difficulty with their congregation, but I've never had that experience here serving as a pastor at Grace. Your many words of encouragement, your support through all these years, you have made serving as a pastor here just an incredible blessing. I don't know that I've ever felt unappreciated, ever felt anything less than your love and acceptance in all the years that I've been a part here. So thank you for that. Thank you for supporting and encouraging me and my family through these years. Thank you for receiving us. Thank you for being so gracious and responsive as a church family to the leaders here at Grace. And I am excited about God and how God is going to move this, take this church into the future generations through you and the leadership team that he's brought together here. So thank you so much for allowing me to serve alongside you as one of your pastors for these 31 years. Thank you.
Hold on a second. Just 1 second. Let's go ahead and thank him the way we all want to.